Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Stephen Miranda. On Wednesday, August 31st, 2016, episode 12.06, the NFL Prediction Show. This year, I had to go all on my own to make my predictions. James was very busy and did not get us a prediction sheet, but I still went through every single game and I tallied up my numbers for every single team. I will give you division by division the records for each team, who will go on to the playoffs, who will win in the playoffs, and who will hoist the Lombardi Trophy in February of 2017. And I'm telling you right now, if you believe me, the Super Bowl champion will hoist the Lombardi for the first time in that franchise's history. You're going to want to listen to that. Plus, I'll weigh in, of course, on Colin Kaepernick's protest. I'll talk about Teddy Bridgewater going down in Minnesota. Joey Bosa and the Chargers finally make an agreement. A trio of players get cleared by the NFL, and Tony Romo goes down again. And with that, all I can say is, Dak to the future! Let's chomp it in!
Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Stephen Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves.
That's right. That's right. I said it. Dak to the future. I'll give credit to my nephew, Jordan Ellis, who named his team name that, his fantasy football team. That is his name for his fantasy football team. And I liked it and I ran with it. It is Dak to the future. I thought the future was going to be maybe week 7 or 8 if Tony got hurt and he'd be in for a couple. But the future is now, baby. Dak Prescott, rookie, fourth-round draft pick. He is going to be the starter for the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm all in with him, baby. Roll, Dak, roll. That's what I have to say. I like his kid. I like what he did against LSU last year. He did great things for Mississippi State. Now he's going to do them for the Dallas Cowboys. Romo, get your back healthy. Be back. Take your time. Don't rush back, man. Your future health is what's more important. And I guess I have to take a look at this realistically. We might have seen the last of Tony Romo on the football field. Let's be honest. Tony is not getting any younger. He's, what, 36 years old. Will be 37 by the time training camp starts next year. He's had several back surgeries, several surgeries on his collarbone. He's had a broken rib and a punctured lung. I mean, the cat has gone through some serious injury problems, and it's time for maybe the Dallas Cowboys and Tony Romo himself to start facing reality that the Dallas Cowboys' future is with someone else under the helm. Now, I'm not saying Dak Prescott is going to be the guy long term, but if he plays half as good as he did in the preseason, okay? And I know it's just the preseason, but he was going up against first stringers out there, and he was doing pretty good, putting passes where they needed to be, and dude's throwing 5 touchdown passes and no picks in 3 preseason games. That's pretty impressive for a rookie, because I'll tell you what, there were 7 other quarterbacks drafted ahead of Dak Prescott in this year's draft. 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 quarterbacks. None of them will be starting, but Dak Prescott will. Let's see how he goes from here. Let's see how he handles himself. So far, on and off the field, he has handled himself admirably. When asked about being named a starting quarterback, he was great and said, look, it's still Tony Romo's team. I'm here to help this team win football games. When I am needed, I'm needed right now. I'm going to go out and play as hard as I can to help give this chance a team to win football games. What more can you want from a guy? He's not saying, yeah, I'm going to be the guy. It's my team now. Let's go. He still acknowledges Romo's the man when he comes back. And he's saying, I'm here to do everything I can do to help this football team win games. And the thing, let's be honest, last year when Romo went down, they didn't win any games. You know, I think Tony Romo in the last several years has missed 27 football games due to injury. Cowboys haven't won many of those. I think the number, if I'm correct, I could be wrong. That's why I need a researcher. I think they've only won 7 out of those 27 games. That's not good.
That is not good at all. But we get to find out week one against the New York Giants, division rival, right off the back, whether Dak can make the team win those close football games. Because the Cowboys were in a lot of games last year. They were in a lot of tight football games. They just slipped away at the end and lost a lot of them at the end, quite frankly. But they were in a lot of football games. If they're in a lot of football games now, can Dak Prescott handle the pressure and get it done? I'm saying let's roll with him. Let's roll with him. Let's see what he's got. Going to find out. Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch, none of those guys anywhere near starting for their football teams. You haven't heard all of the praise that you've heard from a lot of analysts when those guys stepped onto the football field in the preseason. But you heard a lot about Dak Prescott. There you go. So, Tony, wish you well. Take your time. Make sure that you do what you have to get healthy. And we hope to see you later on in the future. Now, another team with quarterback problems, the Minnesota Vikings. Going into this year, the Minnesota Vikings were a surprise team for many. I think a lot of people thought that the Vikings would go far. They had the possibility of going the distance. They won the division last year. A lot of people thought they could win the division again this year, maybe even make some noise in the playoffs. But Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback of the team, fell to injury. He has a dislocated knee and a torn ACL in what I hear was a non-contact injury. Nobody hit him. He didn't go down. He was just getting ready to pass, and he collapsed on his own, and that's what happened. That is just some awful, awful news for that young man. He's a good kid, and I really thought that he was going to do well this season. You got Adrian Peterson in the backfield, right? So you just got to hand him the football. But he most likely is out, I believe. I don't know if they have quite said that he will be out for the whole year, but it looks like he will be out for the whole year. Doubt that he'll be able to recover in time to play anytime this season. The thing is, the Minnesota Vikings, unlike the Dallas Cowboys, who can go to their rookie stud guy quarterback, Minnesota Vikings don't really have anyone to turn to, so they're turning to Sean Hill. Sean Hill. That is who the Minnesota Vikings are handing the reins of their football team to. And as I said, you got Adrian Peterson in the backfield. You can rely a lot on him. But I fear that many teams will stack the box, stop Adrian Peterson, force Sean Hill to beat them. And I'm not sure he is going to be capable of doing that. So for now, I had to go and chase. So here's the thing. I said I did everything manually. I had to go back. I went on Sunday. I went and manually I did all of the numbers for my predictions for this show. And then yesterday I had to recalculate everything. I had to go back and look at the Minnesota Vikings and look at how many wins I had them winning, how far I had them going. And I had to reassess all of that. Same with the Cowboys. I think I had the Cowboys at one point with like 11 wins. I think now they're down to 9 wins. But crazily enough, because of the division they're in, the NFC least, if you will, I think they still win the division with a 9-7 record. That's what won it last year. So we're going to get to all of the predictions coming up in a moment. I just needed to get these two very, very awful injuries right off the bat, address them. Tony Romo, Teddy Bridgewater, when you lose your starting cornerback before a single game has been played in the NFL, that is really tough. And maybe the NFL will need to address and assess preseason. They need to take a look at it again. Here's the thing. Tony Romo's injury, that hit did not look at all bad. I mean, Averill did kind of push him into the ground, but, I mean, it just looked like a normal hit that you would take playing the game of football. And Tony Romo couldn't take it, and it's just it was just very, very hard to see that happen. Everyone, of course, at the time saying, hey, he's all right. He could go back into the football game. He wanted to go back into the football game, and then you turn out 2 days later and find out that there's a broken bone and he won't play. So, Teddy Bridgewater's knee, Tony Romo's back. I hope those guys get better. But those two teams are definitely going to look differently, and the dynamics of those football teams will look differently because there'll be different quarterbacks at the helm when the season starts. All right, before I get into the predictions, once again, I want to thank all of you that have joined and become patrons on our Patreon page. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. The month of August is done. You should be getting an email with how to claim some of the cool things, the sticker and the Google Hangout that we'll be having week two of the NFL. It's going to be all coming to you very soon. So once again, thank you very much for joining up there. If you're still not too late to sign up anytime throughout the season, if you like the show and what I'm doing for you guys, feel free to go to the Patreon page, www.patreon.com/NFLRANDR, and join up to become a patron. All right, we're going to start with the AFC. And, of course, when you start in the AFC, you have to start in the East. And in the East, I am making a change at the top. No New England. Not going to happen. New England Patriots Day in the sun has come and set. And it is setting because for the first four games, the Patriots will not have their 39-year-old godsend savior, Tom Brady. Brady's going to be missing the first four games, and I believe the Patriots will struggle in there, and they could possibly come out 0-4, but I think they'll come out 1-3, but they could go 0-4, and that start is going to be enough to derail the Patriots. I still have them with 9 wins. I have them at 9-7, but going 3-3 in the division won't be enough. The new division champion in the AFC East will be the Buffalo Bills. I've got the Bills who are looking strong, both offensively and defensively. Strong players. Tyrod Taylor's got that big fat contract. They just paid him a lot of money. I'm talking about a lot of money. And he's got to be feeling pretty good about himself. So with that, I think the Buffalo Bills will find enough to get 11 wins, and that should win the AFC East this year. At third place, I've got the Miami Dolphins, 7-9. I think the Miami Dolphins are just, they're going to find out that maybe Tannehill was not the guy they thought he was going to be. I think their situation at the running back position is still a mess. They're going to be relying somewhat on Arian Foster. If you're a Houston Texans fan and you've been following the Houston Texans, you know he is somewhat unreliable because he gets injured a lot. AJ Ajayi, I like him, but I don't know. He could be the featured back. The wide receiver core has had some changes there for Miami, and I don't think the defense is going to be as strong as it was last year, so I see the Dolphins taking a step back and see them finishing at 7-9. Finally, bringing up the rear of the rear is the New York Jets. I have them finishing at 5-11. I know I'm going to hear the New York Jet fans are going to come out, Steven, 5 wins? Are you serious? And yeah, I am serious. I don't think that you can rely on an aging Matt Forte. You're trying to run an offensive system that is predicated on running the football first and then passing second. Then when it comes to your passer, you have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who everybody wants to make this guy the starter, the end-all, be-all for the Jets, when all Ryan Fitzpatrick really is a stopgap. He's a journeyman quarterback that has gone from place to place, and he held out the beginning of this year. They finally settled on a 1-year deal. He's back in there. I don't think the Jets have much to offer. And as much as I like their front office, their head coach, Todd Bowles, and their coaching staff, the problem is I don't think they have the players necessary that they need to compete in this division that is pretty stacked. The AFC East is pretty stacked. I ain't going to take anything away from that division, but the Jets will most likely not wind up
well, wind up in the cellar. Now wind up competing for the division. Now moving over to the AFC North. The AFC North is a little tricky. Mostly, I say they're a little tricky because you have the Baltimore Ravens, who I'm just not sure what to expect this year from the Ravens. Flacco's back coming off that injury, and he, I think, and the Baltimore Ravens are going to be the wild card. I am going to get a lot of flack for my selection in the AFC North, but I have the Cincinnati Bengals repeating as the division champions. I have them finishing at 12-4, and more impressive than that, I have them going a perfect 6-0 within the division. I think Cincinnati has the tools, the chops, the desire, and the players to sweep the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Cleveland Browns. That is why they will easily take this division at 12-4. Coming in second, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, I have finishing at 9-7. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to step back. Martavis Bryant suspension, he's been out for a whole year, is going to hurt. The fact that they haven't been able to find the tight end to replace Heath Miller. They are going with Ladarius Green. Ladarius Green, who came over from San Diego. San Diego had high hopes for Ladarius Green, but he's been hurt. He's been injured. He hasn't even been doing well in camp. Now all of a sudden it comes out that he's having all these headaches. He hasn't been available for a lot of practices, and the Pittsburgh Steelers really don't have that position at tight end. Not to mention Le'Veon Bell suspension for the first three games of the season again. All right, dude, you got to do something. You can't be suspended at the beginning of every season. I need you to run the football for me. I don't need you being suspended because you can't just be clean for once. Jeez Louise. Anyways, not to mention that, they still got probably one of the best wide receivers in the game in Antonio Brown, but it won't be enough. And again, I'm seeing this with my own eyes during the preseason, that offensive line, geez, Pittsburgh, do something. How in the world do you expect Ben Roethlisberger to stay healthy when that O-line cannot protect him? He is getting hit and hit and hit. And first of all, it's odd to see Ben Roethlisberger playing in the preseason, but then he's out there and he's getting hit like he has been. I don't think he stays healthy and plays a full 16 games. I've got the Pittsburgh Steelers at 9-7. Then my crazy dark horse, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think of. The feeling is that they won't be as good, but I got the Baltimore Ravens. It's a Harbaugh-led team. Harbaugh's a really good coach. He will try and get the most out of his players, but I think Flacco will show some rust early, and they'll never really get going. They'll end up at 6-10 in the division. Then the Cleveland Browns. The Browns, who have decided to roll the dice with RG3, bringing Robert Griffin III in to start at quarterback for them. I like the Cleveland Browns defense, and I think that that defense is going to keep them in a lot of football games. That's just the nature of the way the Browns have played football over the last several seasons. The problem is, on the offensive side of the ball, will they be able to produce and generate enough points to win those close games when the defense keeps them in them? With RG3 at quarterback, I think it's going to be a seesaw battle. It's going to be up and down. It's going to be up and kind of like a roller coaster ride. That's what I was trying to say. And I don't think that he will be able to be consistent enough throughout the NFL season, if he lasts the entire NFL season, to give the Cleveland Browns any continuity at the quarterback position. Defense, they look good. Offense, once again, not a lot of names there. Even though they get Josh Gordon back after he's suspended for the first four games, once he gets back, maybe RG3 will be able to use him. I just don't think that they'll be able to generate and string together consecutive wins back to back to back. 6-10 is probably good for the Cleveland Browns. So far we got two division winners. Buffalo Bills in the AFC, Cincinnati in the AFC North. Now we go to the AFC South. This is going to be a very highly contested division. For the first time in a while, you've got four really good football teams in this division, and they're all going to be playing some good football. I think in the end, the return of Andrew Luck will win this division for this team. I think the Colts, because of the soft division, because they didn't do so well last year, they actually got a pretty fortunate schedule. I think they finish at 12-4 and 4-2 within the division. And the Houston Texans, I've got them finishing at 10-6 with 4-2 in the division. Those two numbers, though, can change. What I need to see from the Houston Texans, though, and I think I'm going out on a limb by giving them 10 wins, is Brock Osweiler. Everybody needs to find out, what is Brock going to bring to the table for the Houston Texans? We know that defense is stout. We know that defense plays good, solid football. J.J. Watt, one of the most dominant players on the football field, on the defensive side of the ball. But can the offense score points? Can the offense not just score points, can the offense score touchdowns? Kicked a lot of field goals last year. Can you punch it into the end zone? Can you win those tight games? That's what the Houston Texans are hoping Brock Osweiler can do for them. Can he do it for them? That remains to be seen. I think I'm going out on a little limb with the 10-6 because I haven't seen much of Brock. This could be worse. This could be worse, but right now I've got him at 10-6. Third place, I've got the Jacksonville Jaguars at 7-9. Now, the Jaguars is a team that a lot of people like. It's a sexy pick. Look, if you've seen any of their football games, that's a good football team. They are getting better. Gus Bradley is doing some good things down there in Jacksonville. He has got that team believing that they can win and compete in the NFL. They're no longer the laughingstock of the league. The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to have a good season. I think offensively, they're going to be explosive. You know, Blake Bortles last year had a phenomenal season, but nobody talked about him because the Jacksonville Jaguars didn't win a lot of football games. I think that changes this year a little bit. They'll win a little bit more games than they did last year, and people are going to start looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars and taking them serious. I can very easily see the Jags and the Houston Texans flip-flopping there and have the Jags winning 10 games. I just couldn't pull the trigger. I did not have the cojones to pull that trigger, so I've got them at 6-10. And bringing up the rear, sophomore season for Marcus Mariota, the Tennessee Titans finish at 5-11. I think the Tennessee Titans will be competitive. I like the addition of DeMarco Murray because that gives Marcus Mariota an additional threat on the offensive side of the ball. The problem with Tennessee is I do not like their defense. I think their defense has a lot of question marks. They're suspect, especially in the secondary. And I think with you have guys like DeAnthony Hopkins and T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief and the two Allens for Jacksonville, and you got to face those guys twice, that's going to be tough for Tennessee, and I don't see them winning. I actually only have them winning one game within the division. I have them going 1-5 in the division, 5-11 overall for the Tennessee Titans. The final AFC division, the AFC West. Now, I'm torn. I'm torn here. Torn. Because I have the Denver Broncos winning the division again at 10-6. Now, at 10-6, that puts them as the fourth seed in the AFC. But I've only got them going 3-3 in the division. Okay? So that's where I've got the Denver Broncos. And once again, it all stems from the quarterback play. Trevor Siemian. Seriously, people. Say that name to yourself out loud right now to yourself. Trevor Siemian. Does that even sound like the name of a professional quarterback in the National Football League? Well, that's what the Denver Broncos are rolling with. That is who they're taking to go and lead their football team to defend their Super Bowl championship from a season ago. I just don't think he's the guy to do it. He's looked okay during the preseason. I don't think the Broncos are going to expect much from him. I don't think they go far in the playoffs if they even make it. And I've got them making it. Quite frankly, right now, at 10-6, they make the playoffs. They're the fourth seed in the AFC. That'll be the lowest division record that is in the AFC. And I don't know how I feel about that. I don't think that they're actually going to do that. I may have to recalculate, but right now, as I said, I quickly had to put all this together. I have the Denver there at 10-4. Kansas City finishes second at 9-7.
And they make the wild card, the final wild card spot, the sixth seed overall in the AFC West. Oakland, much better Oakland football team. I think they are 8-8. They could possibly be the team that upsets the whole balance, because I'll tell you what, I've got them at 4-2 in the division. Okay, I think they're going to play good football within the division at 4-2. They will be all right, but at the end of the day, I still think 8-8. I think their defense is suspect. They'll give up a lot of points. I like the offense. I like the cast of characters: Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Latavius Murray. I like all those guys. You even got Crabtree as a second wide receiver. I think Oakland offensively is going to be okay. That's why I've got them at 8-8, not trusting the defense. And bringing up the rear, the 11th seed in the AFC, the San Diego Chargers at 7-9. Got them at 3-3 in the division. Look, the San Diego Chargers just don't inspire me anymore. It's the same old, every year with San Diego. I can't really trust them offensively. Phillip Rivers has to do it all, and he has shown over the last couple years he cannot do it all by himself. He needs some help. He needs assistance. He is begging for it. He's clamoring for it, and he needs it done. So I like the San Diego Chargers. I just don't see them being better than 7-9. So in the AFC, it being set, Cincinnati with the one seed, Indianapolis number two, the AFC East winner Buffalo Bills at 3, AFC West winner Denver at 4, Houston Texans and Kansas City Chiefs, your two wild card teams. So the AFC is set. Now, before I go into the NFC and get to the playoffs, I'm going to spend a little time doing our executive producer segment. Once again, I'd like to thank Jeremy Parker, the executive producer of this segment. And we're, of course, at this point going to talk about Colin Kaepernick. If you are fed up with listening about Colin Kaepernick and Colin Kaepernick talk, you may want to fast forward about 5 minutes. That's how long my rant's going to take. I will also answer this other question. He wants to know if Gabbert is going to be the starter, and that's what it looks like they will go with. How much of a lease will they give Gabbert if he starts losing games, and do they write off the season and look for a high draft pick? Look, Jeremy, I don't like the fact that teams ever consider just what I call tanking and losing on purpose to get a high draft pick. I don't think that's ever good football. And I don't really think organizations ever really do that. Although people think they do. When you go out there, you go out there to win football. You go out there to win games. And I think that's what the San Francisco 49ers will do. They're not going to tank on purpose. But I will tell you that he has a short lease. If Gabbert goes out there and the first 4 or 5 games don't look very good, and let's face it, they could come out 1-4 or 0-5 in the first 5 games of the season. They got the Rams. They got Seattle. They got Arizona. They got Carolina Panthers. They got the Dallas Cowboys. That's 5 tough games right off the bat to start. So I think that Gabernick. But I think Gabbert's going to have a short lease. Ultimately, I don't think he's very comfortable with this whole read option offense that Chip Kelly's running. And I think it's more suited, quite frankly, to Colin Kaepernick. But now with this situation, I don't know how that's going to play out, because I don't even know if Kaepernick makes the team now. One thing I will tell you is that if he doesn't make the team, he is going to be hard-pressed to find another team to give him a chance. So before I go off on a tangent that I shouldn't go off on, I'm going to start with this. I like Colin Kaepernick. Didn't think he should have ever been given the job over Alex Smith, but that's now gone, and it's history. It's in the rear view. Colin Kaepernick's a good kid for the most part. I know because he went to high school with my nieces. And ever since he's come into the league, he's done pretty good for himself. Here's the thing. We live in a great country. I love America. And yeah, I'm a man of color. I'm half black, half Mexican, so I am full of culture, but I'm also full of the culture and the color that some people in this country don't find all that appealing. And I'm all right with that. I'm okay with that. So I want to start with saying I understand the message that Colin Kaepernick is trying to bring to the forefront here. It's a great message. There is racial profiling in America, believe it or not. And if you don't want to believe it, I don't know how much more I can prove to you than this fact. I have a lot of white friends. I love my friends very much. And we've had this conversation. When I get pulled over by a police officer, when my first instinct is put my hands out the window so that they see I'm not holding anything, I'm not carrying anything. That is my first instinct. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get shot. Here are my hands. I'm not going to cause you any problem, officer. What's up? You know what my white friends all to a man said? Yeah, we don't have to think about that. They don't have to worry that a police officer is going to roll up on them and hurt them if the police officer thinks they're about to do something with their hands. That's why I always show them. I don't want no trouble. But should I have to do that in this country? The home of the free and home of the free, land of the, I don't even know the lyrics anymore. Because that's the other thing. We'll get into the national anthem in a minute. I know the message. I understand the message. I've lived the message. So Colin Kaepernick, you have a right to discuss this message with everyone so that it becomes aware. And I applaud you for doing that. I just think that the way you're trying to bring your message about is misguided. It is the wrong method. And the execution of your method is poor. Instead of bringing this message to the forefront, you are tainting the message because you have chosen to do something that is disrespectful. It's your right. True that. That is why we live in this country. We live in a great, free country where you can spit and burn the flag and disrespect it and do whatever you want to. You can without fear of execution or retribution or being incarcerated. You can do that. That is your right in this country. There are many individuals all over this great world of ours who do not have that right. You do. And you can choose to exercise it if you want. I'm just telling you that by doing that, you're tainting the message you're trying to get out there. That is my problem with how you're doing what you're doing. Yes, it is your right. Absolutely. I'm all on board. Freedom of speech. That's one of the parts of the Constitution that we defend. And I have brothers and sisters that have served in the military. I know they're out there, what they're out there fighting for, what they're defending for all of our freedoms, and hopefully trying to get some of those other people who don't have our freedoms to enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. But when you do that and you don't stand with your teammates and stand up there and listen to the national anthem, you look bad. And by looking bad, you taint the message you're trying to come across. That is not the best vehicle for this message. You are a man who is gifted athletically, has been blessed with multi-million dollar contracts. You have a lot of money. There are more vehicles that are more powerful for you to go out there and spread this message. And I applaud you for spreading the message. I'm okay with you spreading the message. I just don't think that this is the right way to do it. But I know veterans, and I said, members of my family who are saying, hey, he has the right to do that. Do we like it? No. But that is his right. My problem is the focus right now is on Colin Kaepernick instead of the message you say you want to get across. That is where the focus should be. And if you think for a second that that is where you want to put your focus, do something about it off the football field. Don't bring your politics into the football game. Into the football field. That's not where it belongs. You even say, this isn't about football. If it isn't about football, keep it out of the football field. Now, that's all I'm going to say about Colin Kaepernick. I'm going to rant a little bit on the National Football League. The National Football League put out a statement that says, in essence, let me tell you what the statement is instead of me trying to tell you what I think their message is. The NFL says this, all right, and this came from the National Football League. Players are encouraged but not required to stand during the playing of the national anthem. Really, NFL? Seriously. This is a organization that they don't say you have to do it. They encourage you to do it, and they're not going to do anything. This is a league who will fine you if you don't wear the right sock. This is a league that wouldn't allow the Dallas Cowboys to honor the fallen officers in Dallas with a decal on their helmet. This is the league that doesn't want to dirty itself or muddy itself in this situation. I understand that. But at some point, NFL, you have to take a stand. And it's time that the NFL says, you know what? No politics in football. It just, we're not going to tolerate. Don't bring your politics to work. Most workplaces do that. Yeah, you want to talk politics around the water cooler, but you know, for the most part, don't come bringing your politics into the office. We don't want you carrying all kinds of protesting signs into the office. This is the office where we work, and that's what the stadium is. It's where they work. Don't bring your politics in. It's that simple. Make a stand. Do something. Don't be like, yeah, we encourage them, but if they don't want to do it, whatever. NFL needs to make a stand, I think, at some point. All right, enough on that issue. We're going to move on. I know he's going to keep doing it. He says he's going to keep doing it. Quite frankly, I'm beyond that because you know what? In less than 7 days, I get football games that matter. And that's what I'm here for. Real football games that matter. And not this crazy politicking. All right. Enough about Colin Kaepernick. Jeremy did have one other question. He wants to know what's going on with the Cowboys quarterback Wolves. Well, I've already talked about that, really. So I'm going to move on and get you my predictions for the NFC. You like how quickly I kind of switched that right there? All right, we'll start in the NFC East. And I'm in with Dak Prescott, people. I've got the Dallas Cowboys winning the division again. Like the division was won last year by the Washington Redskins at 9-7. This year it'll be won by 9-7, except it's going to be Dallas this year to win it. I think with the weapons in place, the additions of Alfred Morris and rookie sensation Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield, Dez has some help now. Healthy Bryce Butler, who has got a great connection with Dak on the football field. Terrence Williams, Jason Witten, offensively they're going to be great. But here's why I like the Cowboys. It's the defensive side of the ball. They've gotten better. Sure, they're missing McClain and Greg Erie and Lawrence. Those guys are going to be out for suspensions for a little while. But it's that secondary that I can't wait to see play real meaningful football games. Mo Claiborne has looked fantastic throughout camp in this preseason. You got Byron Jones. You got Barry Church. Orlando Scandrick is back and he's healthy. J.J. Wilcox. I think this football team is going to be better defensively. And that's why some of those games that they lost at the end of last year, where they lost by a point, by giving up a field goal late or 3 points, or I think they lost like six games by 5 points or less. If they're in all of those football games, I think this year that defense can make stops, and I think that the Dallas Cowboys will take care of business. I got the New York Giants at second at 9-7. The Philadelphia Eagles, 7-9 in third place. I think that might be generous for Philadelphia. 7-9 might be generous. I think that team is a hot mess right now. Really, a hot mess. There is no one really of significance who is of any threat on that side of the ball at the wide receiver position. And I think that's why they made that trade for Dorrell Green from Tennessee. Look, Tennessee Titans were honest. They didn't like this guy at all. and that they were able to trade for him and get something out of him in return, they were very happy to ship him to Philadelphia. And I think going from first to worst in the division, the Washington Redskins will finish at 6-10. I think that a lot of those close games that the Redskins were able to pull off last year, they're not going to be able to do this year. I think Kirk Cousins is going to regress. You're going to see him just do a little bit poorer than he did last year, and that's why the Redskins will end up where they are. Heading to the NFC North, I had the Vikings repeating. Seriously, I did. I liked them. I thought they were going to surprise people, but the Teddy Bridgewater injury has soured me on the Vikings, so I had to readjust like crazy. Green Bay wins the division now at 11-5, and I've got them at 4-2 within the division. Then after that, I don't see a lot of hope for the rest of the NFC North. I've got the Detroit Lions at 6-10, the Minnesota Vikings at 5-11, and the Chicago Bears at 4-12. If the Eagles were a hot mess, the Chicago Bears are a stinking pile of hot mess. The Bears have looked bad, no direction on offense, and I think that changes will come this year after the season is over for the Chicago Bears. I don't think they'll do very well. So Green Bay winning the North there. In the NFC South, I've got one team coming out of the NFC South, and that's the division champions from a year ago, the Carolina Panthers. I think Carolina will take a step back. No way they win 15 games like they did last year, 15-1. But I think 12-4 will be good enough to not only win the division, but win the number two seed in the NFC. I've got Atlanta and New Orleans finishing at 7-9, both of them. New Orleans being the second place team with a 4-2 division record. Atlanta will finish at 7-9, but a 2-4 division record. And the Bucks. The Bucks are a wild card. I want to like the Bucks. I really honestly do, Tampa Bay. Do not hate me, Buccaneer fans. I want to like your football team. I just cannot, with the schedule, see them going better than 4-12. They could surprise me, and I would like for them to surprise me. But right now, what I'm seeing, I'm not sure that they will have enough defense to play with the schedule that they've been given. Offensively, they're going to be fine, man. I really like Winston to Mike Evans. That's looking pretty good. The muscle hamster, of course, he doesn't like that nickname, so I won't call him that anymore. But Doug Martin, I think, will have a really good season. I think he will bounce back. I just don't see a lot of wins in their future this year. Finally, the NFC West will have not one, not two, but three. That's right, three teams in the playoffs. First off, I've got Arizona Cardinals winning the division at 13-3. I am high on Arizona. You will find out later just how high. And I think they will roll the division and be 5-1 within the division to get that 13-3 record. I've got the Seattle Seahawks at 12-4. They will be 3-3 within the division, and at 12-4 be second place. But it'll only be good enough for a wild card spot. And finally, believe it or not, at 8-8, the wild card team will be the Los Angeles Rams. They will find a way to win 8 games and sneak in as the 6th seed into the playoffs. Jeff Fisher will be here. I just think the momentum of them starting in the new city, in a new town with new faces, I think the Rams will find a way to get in at 8-8. And here's where I got them. Here's the tricky thing. I got them at 4-2 within the division, doing pretty good there. And bringing up the rear, the 16th seed in the NFC and the 32nd team in the league at 3-13, the San Francisco 49ers. I know executive producer Jeremy Parker is not going to like to hear that, but I don't see them winning many games this year. They're going to depend on a running back who cannot stay healthy. And I believe that Chip Kelly will not be able to have patience and therefore start a quarterback carousel that is just going to end horribly for the San Francisco 49ers. So on the flip side, Jeremy, the good news is that's the worst record in the league.
That's the worst record in the league, so that gives them the number one pick. There you go. There you have it. So that's where we are there. To wrap up the NFC, we have Arizona 1 winning the West, Carolina 2 winning the South, Green Bay 3 winning the North, Dallas 4 winning the East, Seattle 5 the wild card from the first wild card from the West, and the Los Angeles Rams with that final wild card spot. So let's take a look at the playoffs and how it all plays out. We go to the wild card game, where the Houston Texans travel to Denver to play the Broncos. We have the Kansas City Chiefs playing the Buffalo Bills. And in the NFC, Seattle goes to Dallas to play the Cowboys in a reverse of what they did a few years ago, where the Cowboys will have the worst record and Seattle will have to go on the road to play them. And the Rams will travel to Green Bay to play the Packers. I think the Broncos get bounced immediately. Tennessee is the lone road team to win. I'm sorry. The Houston Texans are the lone home team to win. They beat Denver. The Buffalo Bills beat the Chiefs. Dallas beat Seattle. And the Green Bay Packers beat the Rams. We go on to the divisional round, where the Colts host the Houston Texans. The Bengals host the Buffalo Bills. The Panthers host the Dallas Cowboys, and the Arizona Cardinals host the Green Bay Packers. And in that scenario, I see all four home teams winning. Colts over Texans, Bengals over Bills, Panthers over Cowboys, and Cardinals over the Green Bay Packers. Taking us to the championship games, I see the Cincinnati Bengals upsetting the Indianapolis Colts, and the Arizona Cardinals finally getting back to the Super Bowl as they avenge last season's playoff loss and beat the Carolina Panthers, giving us a Super Bowl 51 of Arizona at Cincinnati. And for the first time in the history of their franchise, the Arizona Cardinals will hoist the Lombardi Trophy. Larry Fitzgerald gets his ring and rides off into the sunset, and all is well with the world. That's the 2016 predictions right here. I know, it's crazy. I'm on the Arizona bandwagon. I think they're going to be hot. I think they've got, you know, if I'm looking at their schedule, I've got them losing games that I don't think they might even lose. But I've got them losing to the Carolina Panthers. I've got them losing one game against the Rams. I think they'll split with Los Angeles. Rams beat them at home in the Coliseum, but then lose when they go to Arizona. And the third game that I've got them losing is one of those games that everybody knows the Arizona Cardinals should win, but they don't, and that's against the New York Jets. Week 6. Just because it's after a game where they're on the road against the San Francisco 49ers, typically they expend a lot of energy when they go play the 49ers and then have to come back home. So I've got them losing week 6 to the Jets, week 8 to Carolina, and then again on week 17, it's the last game of the season. Doesn't really mean anything for them. Will mean a whole heck of a lot for the Rams, and I have them losing that game. But bottom line is I have them winning it all. So the Arizona Cardinal fans will have something to cheer about when the season is over. That's about all the time I have. I'll just quickly mention that Joey Bosa finally signed and agreed on a deal with the San Diego Chargers. And I was going to go on a little rant, but you know what? Whatever. He's in. If you're not following on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, please get on it. I'll find all the social media handles on the website, www.nflrandr.com. That's nflrandr.com. I'm your host, Stephen Miranda. Thank you very much for listening. Week 4 preseason should be underway as you're listening to this. The Washington Redskins are actually playing right now against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All games were going to be on Thursday, but they moved this game to Wednesday because of weather.
that's coming. I think they're still playing in the rain. I think they're playing in the rain right now, as a matter of fact. But that being said, that game is on right now. The rest of the games, all of them, will be played on Thursday night. And then cut downs, and we start football the following week. So Thursday, 1 week from tomorrow, Thursday, September 8th, rematch of the Super Bowl, Carolina and Denver. And I'm going to give you that pick already. I don't see how Denver wins it. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Steven Miranda, and I'm out.